Heaven is a beautiful place, as beautiful as a bride is glorious on her wedding day. At present, we see beauty imperfectly, through fuzzy spectacles and from the underside of a magnificent tapestry. We wait in faith and hope for the beauty that promises to fulfill us completely one day. And when that day arrives, when we step through one of heaven's jeweled gates and walk on her translucent gold streets, we will take it all in, breathing deeply until we become one with splendor. Until then, C.S. Lewis says, we are like little children who too easily settle for making mud pies in a slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Back in the 70s, a man named John wanted us to imagine there was no heaven. Today, we'll see what a different John has to say. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and this is Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Well, contrary to the imagination of John Lennon, heaven is a real place. And according to the Apostle John, God will one day create a new heaven, along with a new Jerusalem. Ron gives us a glimpse, but only a glimpse, of this new heaven and new Jerusalem next. You'll have to leave the rest to your imagination. Stop by somethinggoodradio.org to hear the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now from his teaching series, Heaven, the Father's House and My Eternal Home, here's Ron with today's message. Imagine there's a heaven.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Right? Familiar names to most of us. Yes, from Liverpool, England, they formed a rock band in the 1960s. They called themselves the Beatles, that's right. And the rest, as they say, is rock and roll history. Let me give you a little bit of that history. During their 8 years as a band, the Beatles had 20 number one hits and 34 top 10 songs on the Billboard charts. Among them, these sound familiar? Hey Jude, A Hard Day's Night, Let It Be, Strawberry Fields Forever, just a few of the many, many hits the Beatles had. In 1971, after he started his solo career, John Lennon wrote a surprise hit called Imagine. And with the lyrics that he wrote, he described them this way. These were John Lennon's description of his own lyrics to this surprise hit called Imagine. He called them anti-religious, anti-nationalistic, anti-conventional, and anti-capitalistic. I guess he was against a few things back then. And it was hailed as a peace-loving anthem, Imagine was, but it was not without its critics. In fact, Albert Goldman called it a hippie wishing well full of pennyweight dreams for a better world, Imagine. John Lennon wanted us to imagine there is no heaven. He said, it's easy if you try. Well, I'm not willing to try. In fact, with all due respect to Lennon, I want to flip it around. I want us to saddle up our horses and let our imaginations run like wild horses and imagine there is a heaven. And it's easy. It's easy if you just open up the pages of Scripture and go to Revelation chapter 21 and 22. And there's another John, not John Lennon, not a Beatle, but an apostle named John, who was on the island of Patmos and received a vision from the Lord. And the Lord told him to write it down, record the vision. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apocalypse, the last book of the Bible. And the last two chapters of the last book of the Bible give us the grandest description of the new heaven and the new earth and the new holy city, Jerusalem, in the eternal state. And so I want us to go there and imagine there is a heaven. Saddle up your horse, saddle up your imagination this morning, and let's dip our thoughts into the pages of God's Word and imagine heaven in a number of different ways. Number one, imagine a massive place. A huge place. We've already established in this series that heaven is the Father's big, big house. Jesus said as much in John chapter 14 and verses 1 to 6. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house are many rooms. I want to expand upon that a bit as we go to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and let's pick it up in verse 9 where John records these words. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me saying, come and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. You getting the picture so far? And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city with its gates and walls. The city lies, listen to this, 4 square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod 12,000 stadia. Its length and its width and its height are equal. He also measured its wall 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. Now, there's a whole lot to digest and unpack there, and we will do that in time this morning. But first, I want us to imagine heaven as a massive place. John says the length, width, and height of the city walls are each 12,000 stadia. Now, what's a stadia? Well, a stadia is an ancient Greek and Roman measurement that equals about 607 feet. So imagine something like a cube, approximately 1,500 miles up, down, and across. And that's the distance from the eastern seaboard of the United States to the Rocky Mountains, or from the southernmost tip of Florida to Maine. And that's just the city of Jerusalem. Picture it as John sees it coming down out of heaven in this merging of heaven, the new earth, and the city of Jerusalem into the one continuous realm that we talked about last week. John goes on to say the wall of the city is 144 cubits. Now, how long is a cubit? Last time I heard about a cubit was in Genesis chapters 5 and 6, and that range where Noah was building the ark, and the Lord gave him measurements in cubits. Well, the length of a cubit was based on the distance from someone's elbow to the tip of their fingers, and that varied over time depending upon the ancient civilization, but it was somewhere between 17 and 20 inches. So if my math is correct, the city's wall is the height of 24 stories, a 24-story building. It's massive. It's huge. In his book, The Wonder of Heaven, author Ron Rhodes notes, someone calculated that if this structure is cube-shaped, it would allow for 20 billion residents, each having, listen to this, his or her own private 75-acre cube. He says, if each residence were smaller, then there is room to accommodate 100,000 billion people. Even then, plenty of room is left over for parks, streets, and other things you would see in any normal city. Heaven is a massive place. You say, so what, Pastor? Well, so what is this? There's room for you, and there's room for me. Heaven will not be a place where we're living on top of each other. And even though Jesus said, the road to heaven is narrow and few will find it, there's room for billions of people because God is a master architect and the best builder. Waste no space or location. There's room enough for you, there's room enough for me. Heaven is a massive place. Secondly, heaven is a welcoming place. Imagine that. Imagine a welcoming place. John mentions 12 gates and 12 foundations. That makes 3 entries on each of the four sides of the cubed city. Now, architecturally, the city provides for easy entrance from any place on the new earth, and the fact that the gates are present implies that there's inhabitable space inside the city, the New Jerusalem, and outside the city. We really don't know, exactly where people will be living. It's assumed inside the city, but maybe some are living outside of the city. And God's people will experience both spaces as they freely flow in and out of the New Jerusalem. And because heaven is a perfect place, there's no reason to ever close the gates and lock them down and, station security people. We have to do that in, our church. We have a very capable and very astute security team that manages all of our entrances and exits very carefully. Well, we live in a fallen world. We have to these days, right? But you won't have to in heaven. There will be no need for the security team in heaven. No need to close down the gates, and lock them down, and have swipe cards to get in and all that kind of stuff. No, heaven is a welcoming place where the gates are open. We always want to say here at the church, the doors of the church are open, and they are. Come. Everyone is welcome who wants to come and drink from the fountain of life. But we have a security team. No security team in heaven, though. Stationed at each of the 12 gates is one angel, placed there presumably as an honor guard, not a security guard, and part of the, let's just call it the hospitality team. We have a guest services team here at the church because we want to be known as the friendliest church in Hampton Roads. And I think we are. We have angelic-like people greeting us as you walk onto the campus and through the doors and into the auditorium and other places of ministry. But can you imagine? Can you imagine walking through the gates of heaven and having one of the angels just kind of flap their wings at you and say, "Welcome, come on in." They're just part of a hospitality team, a welcoming team.
Up next, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Today's teaching is part of Ron's teaching series, Heaven, the Father's House, and My Eternal Home. Watch or listen to the entire series at your convenience in the Something Good Digital Library. You'll find that at somethinggoodradio.org. And while you're there, be sure to download Ron's sermon notes for today's message. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Whenever you stop by, you're invited to share your prayer requests with us. Use the Explore feature right at the top of the homepage, where you'll find the How Can We Pray For You option. Our ministry team will be happy to join you in prayer anytime. Jesus said the road that leads to life is narrow, but anyone willing to walk that road is welcome in heaven because heaven is a welcoming place. With the rest of today's Something Good radio message, imagine there's a heaven. Here once again is Dr. Ron Jones.
There is more that makes heaven a welcoming place. John says that above each of the gates leading into the New Jerusalem is the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. So you might walk into a gate and see Judah or Benjamin or any number of the 12 tribes of Israel. Why? Well, perhaps it's a reminder, an eternal reminder, that salvation is from the Jews. Something that Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He reminded her, salvation is from the Jews. That's important for us, even as Gentile believers, to remember that in this life. Our Christian faith has deep Jewish roots. A reason, number one, among many, to love Israel and to love the Jewish people. It has deep Jewish roots that date all the way back to the time of Abraham. And Genesis chapter 12, where the Lord said to Abram, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Why? Because Messiah came through Abraham, and the messianic line was Jewish all the way to Jesus Christ, our Messiah. And there will be an eternal reminder of God's grace there, that salvation is of the Jews. Likewise, the foundations of the city, there are the names of the 12 apostles written on the 12 foundations of the city. The Apostle Paul will be mentioned there. And what did he do? He took the gospel to the Gentiles. So there's this reminder, even in the architecture, that salvation is from the Jews. It came to the Jews first, but also to the Greeks or also to the Gentiles. Why? Because heaven is a welcoming place. It's a welcoming place for anybody, any tribe, any nation, however you identify yourself. If you're there by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're welcome. You're welcome in this place. Number three, heaven, imagine this. Imagine that heaven is a beautiful place. Beauty beyond description. And John's going to try. The Holy Spirit gives him some words, but even then, it's just a glimpse. He begins in chapter 21 and verse 9, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And this is where John sees the beautiful holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, presumably populated with the holy ones, the bride of Christ. This is the church, okay? And no, a city is not a bride, and a bride is not a city, but I think we can all agree that there's nothing more beautiful and nothing more glorious than a bride on her wedding day. That's why I have my wife's wedding picture, you know, very nearby in different places, in my office and at home. Never looked more beautiful than on her wedding day. And nothing is more beautiful in heaven than the bride of Christ and the holy city Jerusalem coming. Of course, the bride the angel put on display is, as I said, the church, which is in the New Testament is called the bride of Christ. A few verses later, John expands this dazzling description by saying this, verse 18, "The wall of the city was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel." And then he goes on to name the jewels. Some of them we recognize, some we don't. That's okay. Is it possible that heaven has some jewels that they never put on this earth? It sure is. And it's sort of like an enchanting trip to Tiffany's of New York when he mentions jasper and sapphire and agate, emerald, onyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, and some that I can't even pronounce. There are 12 gates, and he says, listen to this, each made of a single pearl. Now, we think we're, you know, all that when, ladies, you have a pearl necklace and those pearls are just, you know, this big. Imagine this gate to a city that has walls that are 24 stories tall and the gates made of a single pearl. And bedazzled, ladies, with all these jewels. I mean, heaven is a dazzling, sparkling place. It's a beautiful place. And the things that we consider to be rare and precious jewels and expensive, some that need to be placed in a museum or a security place, these are common building materials. Common building materials in heaven. Including, John says, the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Streets of gold in heaven. Every time I drive down the road, I mentioned this earlier, I'm reminded, no matter how smooth the asphalt is, it's still asphalt, isn't it? There's no concrete, no asphalt in heaven, no potholes in heaven, thank the Lord. Streets of gold, transparent glass. I mean, John is reaching for just about every word and human description he can, aided by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, to give us a picture so that our imaginations can run like wild horses. And imagine there is a heaven that is beautiful beyond description. It's so difficult to imagine heaven's beauty from our current earthly home, isn't it? Now, there are places on this earth that are stunningly beautiful. Years ago, I was leading a Something Good radio tour of Paul's missionary journeys through Greece and Turkey and other places. And part of that was a three-day cruise on the Mediterranean. And we got up one morning and the ship's captain said, "Everybody, I think you want to get up on the main deck here and see this. Well, we had begun our entry into the harbor that was Santorini Island. If you have ever seen the brochures of Greece and the Greek Isles, oh, it's Santorini, the blue domed buildings, the white buildings in the cliffs. I thought I was literally in a living postcard. It was so beautiful. Our kids were young at the time and Catherine wasn't with me. I remember texting her and saying, next time you gotta be here. We gotta do this. But as stunningly beautiful as Santorini is, or Mykonos, or maybe you've been to Hawaii or other places, nothing compared to the stunning beauty of heaven. And throughout the ages, thinking people and philosophers and even theologians have tried to wrap themselves around the concept of beauty as a divine allurement. And not just see it with, you know, the naked eye, but experience it. C.S. Lewis, the great Oxford scholar, a former atheist who became a follower of Jesus Christ, wrestled with this in his book, The Weight of Glory. And Lewis said that he wanted to be united with the beauty we see, to pass into it, to receive it into ourselves, to bathe in it, to become part of it. He saw beauty not as something to just see with the eye, but to experience. And he struggled with that, of getting to that part of it. He said, we cannot mingle with the splendors we see. He says, but all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. He was hearing the rumor of heaven. When that day comes, we will, well, imagine a beautiful place. We will see it with our own eyes, and we will experience it. We shall mingle with the splendors that John saw in his vision. At present, we see beauty imperfectly. We see it through fuzzy spectacles, and at best from the underside of a beautiful tapestry. We wait in faith and hope for the beauty that promises to fulfill us and complete us one day. And when that day arrives, when we step through one of heaven's jeweled gates and walk on her translucent gold streets, we will take it all in, we will breathe deeply, and we will be one with splendor.
Heaven is a healing place. No more dying, no more pain, no more sin. Only pure, untainted love and joy for all eternity. Time without end. Imagine that. If you missed part of today's message, imagine there's a heaven. Or if you'd like to share it with a friend, stop by somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. As you may know, Something Good is a listener-supported ministry, one that depends on your prayers and financial support to bring the broadcast to you year-round and to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For your donation today, we have a gift of our own to share with you, Dr. Ron Jones' book, Mysteries of the Afterlife, exploring its amazing secrets. What happens in the moments right after we die? Is heaven a real place? Do we get a second chance to come to faith in Christ after we die? In this companion guide to the series that you're hearing now, Ron answers some of your most probing questions about life after death. That's Mysteries of the Afterlife, a book from Dr. Ron Jones, and our gift to you today for your gift to Something Good Radio. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456.
I could go on and on. Heaven is a massive place. It's a welcoming place. It's a beautiful place. It's a healing place. It's a worshiping place. It's a working place. I could say it's a joy-filled place. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Don't you want to go there? Makes me want to say, Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus.
That's next time when Dr. Ron Jones shares part two of his message, Imagine There's a Heaven. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and thanks for listening.